This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the home team.
Toot-toot,
if they don't win, it's a shame.
Root-root.
Yeah,
toot-toot. I know some people
after too much coconut oil.
And do toot-toot. Yes. All right, here we go. Another hour of the DJV program. Doug, Jen, Victoria. My name's Doug Steffen. Her name's Jennifer Horn. And the other lady's name is Victoria Keelan. You like being referred to, Victoria, as a lady, as a woman, as a girl? What do you two think? What happens?
Care. I'm all of the above.
All of the above. Yes, you are. Jennifer, what about you? You have an express.
I'm a gal.
A gal. She's a gal.
Who says gal anymore?
I know. Nobody does that. All right. So speaking of gals who like different things, baseball been very, very good to me or to you. What are we looking at here? Some real games, right?
Yeah, real games. Today marks opening day, delayed for 119 days. Now ballparks are going to reopen with real live baseball. This is the real stuff. Now, there won't be fans in the stadium. A lot of teams are doing cardboard cutouts instead where they're selling selling. You can buy your face, basically, on a cardboard cutout that sits in a seat. And there will be some changes. There will be no high fives, but a lot of players aren't too worried about that. Air high fives are going to be the coolest thing in baseball, according to the Philadelphia Phillies' Bryce Harper. There's also some social justice at play. They can put a patch. Major League Baseball players can put a patch on their arm, I believe, that says Black Lives Matter or United for Change. That can go on their jersey sleeves as well. You know, we didn't know if we were going to have baseball about a month ago, and so this is going to be a different season. It's going to be a 60-day game season, and some people have opted out of playing. Some of the biggest stars in baseball actually have opted out. Others are showing up and turning out for the season. It'll be different because you won't have the energy of the fans, certainly. There are piped-in sound effects and spray-painted ads on the mound. Pitchers will have their own personal Rosin bags, you know, where they get the dust on their fingers. They'll each have their own so that they don't cross-contaminate each other. Yeah. And the league will look a little different, too. There's some strange rules to just keep in mind. If you go into extra innings, and if you make it to the 10th inning, there will automatically be a runner that starts on second base. Now, I don't like this one, but that's how that's going to go, according to Major League Baseball.
Where does the runner come from? Games. Did you just plant it out there?
Yeah, whoever,
hit,
I guess. They,
he hit
no,
a ball
they put a runner on second base, yeah.
To do what?
To try to give the game a push, because, you know, there's some games that go 15 innings. So if you start someone off on second base, then the other team has to defend, and the team at the plate has to try to
get
that guy in.
How does this guy get, and this is, sounds like Abbott and Costello, who's on first. How does this person get to second base? He didn't have to hit a run. He just gets set up from the dugout to second base.
Out there. Right.
Why? Does it make any sense
to shorten the games? No, I don't.
What?
I just said I don't like the rule. But
so they get a. If he gets
to
home plate, they get a run.
Yeah, this is for extra innings.
Wow. Okay, I don't get that at all. But who am I? What about? So that's the story. I was excited until you told me that story, and then that wasn't. What's that all about? That's like. Mm-hmm. Like electing Bill Blasio, mayor of New York, lost all interest in New York City after he became the mayor. And you look at what's going on now to change our focus from baseball to what's going on with the city of New York, a city that has a bright past, I call him Bla Blasio for a reason, because the city just seems to be on autopilot, Victoria.
He's horrible. I mean,
good God.
He's been a terrible mayor.
Who's in the wings to replace? Are there any good
I don't know.
Administrators/politicians who are wanting to run for mayor of New York? There aren't either. The guy that runs, what is it? We get all these. The woman who's the mayor of Chicago looks like she's really out to lunch. Los Angeles mayor has been out to lunch pretty much since. What's happening to our big cities? How do these people get elected? Is it the machine?
I don't live in Chicago, obviously, but I actually don't think she's out to lunch. For everything I've read that she's on, you know, that she wants to do, I think that she's got a huge, huge uphill battle, and she knew that when she got elected. And
There's no excuse for what's happening in Chicago, though, and it's not all her fault.
Well, it's been going
obviously.
On forever. Yeah, yeah, it's not her.
It's
she inherited
the fact that people have
problem.
Let this go on forever in Chicago is. It's gross. It's if people talking about racism and systemic racism, look no further than a place where it is encouraged. The government, literally the local government in Chicago, is encouraging black people to kill other black people.
Black on black crime. Jennifer, can you, maybe the two of you can give me some insight. There's a new video that Joe Biden and Barack Obama have done, taking a shot at Donald Trump. Because he's not responsible for anything, supposedly. And so what prompted this at this time? Does anybody know? Is it just
campaign
an opportunity?
Yeah.
That's all. There's nothing.
It's Obama, kind of getting into the game, and people have been asking when he's going to do it. And so it's an interview, basically, between the two of them, a conversation. They're in the same room. They're socially distanced. It airs today, actually. It drops today. But yesterday there was some stuff that came out. Some clips, and you know, it's what you'd expect. Not a lot of praise for the president, certainly a lot of trashing and trying to talk about what their policies were. See, that's the thing with Joe Biden that's unique, is that people know what a lot of his policies look like because they happened 8 years ago, or they happened for 8 years under Obama. So they get to decide what's better for the economy.
So you've had 8 years of him and you had 4 years of Trump.
Yeah, but his plans are different, though. I mean, some of them obviously
far more progressive.
Ugh. Right, and that's great. I love that.
Because Bernie's had a lot of say, and so has Elizabeth Warren.
Well,
the platform.
But so has the party. The party has changed drastically, and as a member of the party, like I'm the only member here of the Democratic Party, I'm happy with the some of the progress that we've made and the directions we're going in. There are a lot of major issues that just have not been tackled, so I'm all for it.
Label me happy to not belong to either one of these parties. Frankly, I think they're both the same two peas in a pod. They both are control freaks. They wanted not to have Joe Biden is there because. Not because of the people who voted for him, but because the Democratic National Committee didn't want Bernie Sanders. And I wouldn't want anything to do with an organization that's that corrupt, frankly. Go back to Hillary Clinton. They're all corrupt. And so let me just backtrack a little bit here. The administration has signed a moratorium this week to bar undocumented immigrants from being counted for the census. Am I correct?
This isn't going to go very far.
I think actually it will, because
this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
No,
well,
but
why should undocumented immigrants?
They shouldn't be. And this is
constitutionally they have to be. That's why this is going to be a non-starter.
As undocumented?
All people, according to the Constitution, and the Republicans love to live and die by the Constitution. Well, you're going to have to do it on this one too.
The Constitution says that congressional maps are drawn based on the number of voters in the districts. And so the problem is that it's not supposed to be, although a lot of states like mine where the left loves to use illegals to draw their congressional districts, you can't do that because they're not supposed to vote. And that is constitutionally true. And you're not supposed to draw congressional districts based on bloated numbers, especially in places like California where I live, where there are a lot of illegal people. Yeah.
The jingoists like to redraw things to benefit one party or the other. And
well,
that's all.
Yeah. I mean, the Republicans have done that for years.
Well, so the Democrats, they all
this is not anything new. But but constitutionally, the 14th Amendment, it's very straightforward. All people, all persons need to be counted. And back then, when this was written, unless you want a constitutional amendment and a constitutional convention, which Doug and I both said we agreed with certain things needed to be changed and updated, unless it's going to go all the way, then this has got to go by the letter of the Constitution, and it's all persons.
This should be
very cut and dry.
A very this
doesn't
should be
matter about immigration status.
This is wrong. So there needs to be a constitutional convention to address this. This is wildly ridiculous and just not, it's just
But here's
wrong.
The other thing, though. Here's the other thing. If illegal immigrants are living in a community and the children are going to school, doesn't that school have a right to have proper funding in order to accommodate all the kids, whether they're illegal immigrants or not?
They're being paid
that's
for
what
it.
This is. That's what
the problem
that's
is. Nobody's paying for it. These people are here illegally, and they are not paying for their fair share. And when you live in a state like California, you see the school systems break down. You see the hospitals break down because the people who are here are using services and they're not paying for them. And
I get that, but what I'm saying is that's but if you don't fund if you don't fund those schools and if you're not counting who's actually living there and going to those schools, then the kids who are American citizens are going to be hurt just as much as the kids who are illegal immigrants. I'm not saying it's a great system.
Oh.
It's not. Yeah. But I'm saying we have to be realistic. If these kids are going to be in the schools and the teachers need to at least have the funding that's appropriate for the number of children they're teaching. It's pretty basic. So if we can't fix immigration, and we haven't yet.
So should we deport the people that are using it illegally?
That's a separate issue. What I'm talking about, though, is when it comes to funding of schools, and we hear all these stories of teachers buying supplies out of their own pockets, if the schools aren't properly funded because the number of kids aren't counted on the census, that's right there. That's a major breakdown in the system.
Well, there are a lot of major breakdowns. Here's another California story, Jennifer, just before we leave, the story of Breonna Bedell, who lives in San Francisco. She started this week a Change.org petition calling for Trader Joe's to be required to change the labels on its ethnic foods. She finds it offensive that the Chinese food line is called Trader Ming's, that the Middle Eastern food line is called Arabian Joe, and the Mexican food line is called,
Jose.
Trader Jose. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people. I guess she started it, but I've been seeing this going around for a while now.
Yeah.
That Trader Joe's needs to get with the times and stop labeling stuff on like
Trader
broad
Ming.
Strokes of, yeah. of you know.
But why is that? What is there about? What is Ming? Is Ming? What does Ming connote? Ming, M-I-N-G, Trader Ming. What is
I
that
think
just
that's
Chinese
isn't
name?
That, well, no,
the Ming
I
dynasty. If you go back to the.
Right.
To the you know to that period of Chinese history,
right? But Trader Jose, I mean, that's like really, they couldn't come up with something better than that.
But I think idea is that
I think
a common
it's actually
name.
Kind of funny, huh?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a common yeah. name to say Jose yeah. or Joe. Joe is also a stereotypical American name, an English.
But that's the name of the. That's the name of their company, though.
So, but I think what the idea is that they're playing on that. What's the common thing? Since Joe is the common trader, what's the common
I don't know why it just can't be Trader Joe's Mexican food. I don't know why it needs
well,
to be.
You know what? This ought to be settled not by some petition. I mean, everybody's got a right to do all of this stuff if they want to.
Well, if the consumers don't want to buy it, then
exactly.
Trader
that's
Joe's
that's
is going to have to change the
it
packaging.
If in fact, the they stop selling... This
These
stuff.
Consumers don't care. It's like one person, a couple of people are making loud names, and then they have to answer for it.
Yeah.
How many signatures does it have, though? Because I've been seeing this go around.
3,800 so far. It's not like it's a groundswell. There must be 38 million people in America that buy food at Trader Joe's. I'm one of them. I never paid attention, actually, because I don't buy Chinese food. Maybe that makes me, does that make me a racist because I don't eat Chinese food? Or they buy from...
I don't eat Chinese food.
I mean, this
food.
Is how silly this is getting. Oh, you don't like Chinese food? You must be a racist.
What? But that's part of the problem, though, is no one's saying that. And then to make it seem like people are... Really? Someone said to you, you're a racist because you don't like Chinese food, Doug?
I think you know the background when it comes to the Chinese reference and what happened when I made that reference on the air.
But no one called you a racist because you said you don't like Chinese food. I don't like Chinese food either, and no one's ever accused me of being
a
racist because of that.
That it's gotten to be that silly. That when you get down to the brass tacks of all this, with everything that's going on that we need to be focused on with regard to Black Lives Matter, that there are important discussions there that need to be had and things need to change. I don't think whether you call it Arabian Joe Middle Eastern food is on the priority list, frankly. That's kind of my point.
Hey, survival gardeners. Garden soil isn't what it used to be. In fact, many gardens are farmed out and some are functionally dead. That means adding back the right trace minerals to your soil can immediately catapult your garden fertility. which means, quite naturally, better tasting and more nutritionally dense fruits and vegetables. So if you got your garden in late and want to help your fruits and vegetables play catch-up, or you simply want to pour on the trace elements to maximize this year's harvest, I've got good news. It's not too late to give everything you've got growing this year in your garden a powerful, life-renewing turbo boost. And the best part? This unique product creates a type of trace mineral synergy, which means that each mineral and trace element in the formula makes all the other minerals and trace elements much more effective than if they were used alone. Go to cmazing.net to turbo boost your garden. That's cmazing.net. Improve flavor, increase your harvest. Go to cmazing.net.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
This is Rita Coolidge with the number 5 song for this week in 1977 as we engage ourselves in this wonderful Throwback Thursday exercise, bringing us back musically today in this portion of the program to the top 5 songs during this week in 1977. Rita Coolidge, who had quite, I think, the career that she enjoyed in the 70s and the early 80s. Befits her strong voice. Don't you love this voice, Victoria? The song itself is kind of cool, but I love her voice. Crank it up again, Phil. Yes or no?
Yeah, it sounds good. I don't know this song.
Oh, don't you? Oh, no, that's a good song. Yeah. All right, so Rita Coolidge is at number 5 this week in 77. Here is one of the most famous songs on the planet. It was number 4 this week. In 1977. Who doesn't know, wherever you are in the world, Jimmy Buffett's anthem, right? Anybody doesn't know this song? Seriously? Do you know anybody that doesn't know this song, Victoria?
No, I don't.
No. Some people claim there's a woman involved. This guy is sloshing away in Margaritaville. All right, so, man, this guy's become a billionaire based on this song. Isn't it amazing how something like that takes off? He's created a world around this song. God love him. Good for him. Number 3, a great Philadelphia group called The Emotions. Crank this up. Nothing but a great dance song. Best of My Love. Number 3, sweet 1977. Oh, ho, ho. All right, go take over. Can't sit still. A song like this playing, can't sit still. All right. Those are The Emotions. We got that number 3. Sean Cassidy was the television star, the Partridge Family, or as we called it here in my neck of the woods, the Partridge Family. Sean Cassidy had a career.
Who was he? Because I know David Cassidy. Is this his brother?
His brother. Yeah, his brother. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And they had a lot of silly songs that came out of the show. This is one of them, a remake of the Do Run Run by Cassidy. Originally was done by Now, let me think about that for a second. I should remember off the top of my head. But anyway, let's listen to his version of Do Run Run. The Crystals. Should have remembered that. Did the original version. So I don't suppose, Phil, you could be clever enough to compare this version of Sean Cassidy's Do Run Run to the Crystals version that came about 10, 12 years before, maybe even that was in the early 60s, I think, when this song, which was one of those silly nothing songs, lyrics mean nothing, just kind of a fun way to spend 2 or 3 minutes listening to this song. But the Crystals captured much more of the sense of it. But Cassidy was able to use his, I think, celebrity. What's the name? Yeah, there we go. All right, this is, there's, maybe it's my age, whatever it is, but there's something about that song that's always made me smile, even when Cassidy did it. So, all right, number two this week, Sean Cassidy. Number one, this was 3 weeks at number one, Andy Gibb before he committed suicide on drugs. One of the Gibbs family cousins of the Bee Gees. Sounds just like him. I Just Want to Be Your Everything was number one during this week in 1977. It's just like the Bee Gees, right? Isn't it? Something more recent. Barry. Yeah.
Is this another brother?
Cousin.
Cousin, okay.
He's a cousin.
Is this the one who died?
Yeah. Old drug overdose.
Yeah.
Too bad. I think he was 27 or 28. He may have been one of the group of 27. So those are the top five songs this week in 1977. Thank you. It's 28 after the hour.
Most of us have been spending a lot more time at home recently. And now's the time to join the millions of Americans who've changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillows, MyPillow towel sets, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcases, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code DJV. If you order Mike's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free, plus he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Go to the Radio Listener Special page at MyPillow.com, promo code DJV. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free. That's the Radio Listener Special page at MyPillow.com, promo code DJV.
It can be difficult to notice that your brain may not be functioning as well as it used to. The signs of aging can be subtle. But now it's easy to do something about it. Help your brain with Prevagen. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump deploying federal agents to more American cities to combat violence that he says is getting out of control.
We'll work every single day to restore public safety, protect our nation's children.
The president citing deadly violence, particularly in Chicago, and arguing that he has no choice but to get the feds involved. He called it a rampage of violence, ordering a federal law enforcement surge to the Windy City in particular. Portland, Oregon Mayor Ted Wheeler joining crowds last night in that Oregon city where protests for racial and social justice have been going for over 50 days straight. Wheeler, who is also the city's police commissioner, was at times confronted and booed by the crowd. This is USA Radio News.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Increased testing coming to nursing homes in the states hit hard by coronavirus, as President Trump says all personnel in the facilities will be tested at the highest level, explaining thousands of tests that give results in just minutes are now being shipped out to support the effort. On the pandemic overall, the president says,
but we're working with very talented people, very brilliant people, and it's all going to work out, and it is working out.
Utah Senator Mitt Romney says he is trying to remain faithful to the GOP's principles that he grew up with, even as he says his party is going in a very different direction. Romney says he is not certain of the future course of the party. During a webcast Tuesday, he said the GOP under President Trump seems more comfortable with dictators and anti-democratic leaders than ever before. The Pentagon says progress is being made against ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Briefing reporters from Baghdad, Air Force Major General Kenneth Ekman said that the coalition's forces are continuing to put constant pressure on ISIS and will not rest until the organization is defeated. And Kim Kardashian is reportedly meeting with divorce lawyers, a source saying that the situation is that the reality TV star is exploring her options to leave Kanye West. Apparently a recent Twitter rampage by Kanye. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Looking to get onto the road to wellness? Start your journey with the Good Day Health Podcast. Go to gooddayhealthshow.com and press play. Or you can find the Good Day Health Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Show. I'm Victoria Keelan. Doug Steffen will be along momentarily. In the meantime, it's going to be a big day for Michael Cohen. Remember him? The lawyer/fix-it man for President Trump before he was president. And so Michael Cohen has recently been arrested and put in solitary confinement. He was out on house arrest. He was supposed to be on house arrest for 2 years. And he served 1 year at Otisville Correctional Facility. It's basically a day camp for criminals, for white collar criminals. It's where Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore was a guest. And Billy McFarland, who of course from the founder of the infamous, now infamous, Fire Festival. He's also still a guest at Otisville. Michael Cohen was released into house arrest during the pandemic for lots of prisoners were sent to house arrest because of fears of spreading the coronavirus. And so Michael Cohen is now back behind bars, and not just behind bars, but in solitary confinement. And today, in court filings, his attorneys are saying that this is retaliation for him wanting to write a book called Disloyal, The True Story of Michael Cohen, Former Personal Attorney to President Donald J. Trump. That's the working title of the book. He says he's almost complete. He's almost completed the book, and in his court filings, his lawyers say the reason that he was put back in prison and essentially put into solitary confinement, the reason for that was retaliation because he refused to sign a document that would prevent him from ever writing a book, ever having any contact with the media, ever even doing an interview. He couldn't do an interview. He can't use social media. They wanted him to not even have his family or friends using social media on his behalf. Basically, they wanted to completely shut him up on all fronts. He was never allowed to speak at all. Now, Michael Cohen's lawyers are citing recent victories for John Bolton, who was sued and presented with a cease and desist by the Trump administration. A court ruled that his book was allowed to be published. We know he was a guest here on the show. The Room Where It Happened is his book. And Mary Trump, the niece of President Trump, also faced legal issues with presenting her book to the public. And she, as just like John Bolton, went to court, and the judge ruled that it was that she was allowed to write the book. It's her opinion. It's her story. It's the same thing with John Bolton. That's what everybody's First Amendment rights are. Michael Cohen's lawyers claim that he should be no different than Mary Trump or John Bolton, and they're using that as legal precedent in their argument today. They're also saying that his lawyer said that no other person that they've ever known of has been asked to sign something that was so prohibitive as what Michael Cohen was presented with. And so the order he was asked to sign required, quote, no engagement of any kind with the media, including print, TV, film, books, or any other form of media and news. So, and like I said, all social media platforms also barred. Family and friends not allowed to post on his behalf either. So we'll see where this goes. He will, his lawyers will appear on his behalf in court today. And we'll see where that one goes. In other legal news, El Chapo, remember him? He is trying, after 1 year of being sentenced, he's hoping that an appeal can get him out of supermax prison, is what he's calling it. A year ago, he was sentenced to life in prison plus 30 years. He is considered the most powerful and dangerous kingpin in the world. And we know how many times he escaped Mexican prisons and all that jazz. And so he has not escaped while he's in America. And a jury found him. He's the head of the Sinaloa drug cartel in Mexico, found guilty on 10 counts of engaging in continuing criminal enterprise, drug trafficking, money laundering, conspiracy to commit murder, and that's probably only a quarter of what he actually did. So he now says, his lawyers say that he spends his days and nights alone in a small 7x12 foot concrete cell in Colorado's Supermax prison. So his lawyer is hoping that they can appeal, and he has until August 21st to make this appeal. So his lawyers are working on that. They're trying to get him into somewhat better conditions. Maybe he'll end up at Otisville sharing solitary with next door to Michael Cohen. Who knows? But El Chapo trying to get his sentence revoked.
Really? I missed the first part of that. But I figured I put two and two together and came up with El Chapo. Mm-hmm. All right, so I have a couple of this happens, technical stuff. Let's keep moving. You did a fabulous job. I'm looking at some of the updates on what we're doing with regard to COVID, what has changed. I noticed locally here, and I'm betting a lot of people pay attention to the same sort of thing in their local communities, the metric that continues to change, and in my community anyway, because of the number of tests, I guess, if you go back to May, Victoria, the positive test rate was about 10% here in what they call Middlesex County, mm-hmm. and this week it's dipped to about 0.5%. So the positive test rate gone down from, that would be 100%, right, in essence. It was 10% of the people who were tested had the virus. Or is it because more people are being tested that the numbers went down? There weren't that many people.
I think it's both. Yeah, more people have access to testing. So the more, you know, when obviously that's just basic math. When you increase the number of people getting tested, and the infection rate is going to drop. So that's an important statistic to have and to know. But you know, I still think like the World Health Organization hasn't really been in the spotlight much recently. But when you look at the numbers all around the world and the numbers that countries are reporting, and even in our own country, the numbers that states are reporting, there are still so many people who've never been tested. And there are so many people who are trying to figure out how they've been infected, who, you know, how their families got it because they've been really cautious or whatever. And so it's just, there are people carrying it around who are asymptomatic, or this is, as you and I know, Doug, this has been a horrible season for allergies. So many people are just chalking all of these symptoms up to just bad allergies. Yep. And in a lot of cases, it's actually COVID. And, you know, they're doing autopsies in New York and New Jersey now, where we were hit so hard, and 145,000 Americans have died from COVID. I actually think that number is a lot higher, because in February and March, we didn't even know about this virus yet, and there were these huge upticks in the number of deaths in New York and New Jersey in concentrated areas and cities, and people just thought it was pneumonia. There are so many death certificates just labeled pneumonia, and a lot of doctors are now going back. One of Lewis's friends is a doctor that he grew up with in Queens, and her whole job is basically just going back and doing autopsies now, looking at the autopsy reports of everyone who died in February and March in New York City. And they're finding bodies are just riddled with blood clots. That's not pneumonia. That's COVID. Yeah. And so every organ is riddled with blood clots. And that's, you know, that's what it's doing to people who survive. They're talking about brain damage, permanent brain damage if you survive COVID, if you have a bad case.
Well, but that's not accurate in the sense that the COVID that we had in February, March, and April is not the COVID that we have now. So we have these people who are friends.
Yes.
It's mutated. I'm looking, you know, I get.
But when we're talking about the death
count,
though, it's a lot lower. The current known count is a lot lower than it actually will end up.
Well, I think that's around the world. They either misappropriated purposely or not purposely the number of people who have died. Question still remains on a practical side. Has the world reaction to this been appropriate for the seriousness or lack of seriousness of the disease? I think that's an individual thing. You got to figure that out on your own. Well, when I am looking around the country.
Well, when's the last time we lost? Let's just say it's 200,000 for an even number. When's the last time in our American history we've lost 200,000 Americans? It's more than the.
You're talking about any war?
Yeah. Like, when is the last time we lost that many? Because the Spanish flu, we didn't lose that many.
Well, there weren't that many people in the country. Then, proportionally speaking, more people died percentage-wise. 200,000 is a horrible number.
Yeah.
But is it worth shutting down the country for that? I mean, that's
well, but if we didn't
cold,
shut down,
cruel
it could
way
be
of
half
looking
a million.
At it. Well,
right, but it could be so much more. That's what every, you know, that's the problem. It's like,
if
it could have been
had,
so much worse.
If this thing had been properly sized up, and I don't know, Monday morning quarterbacking, whether we had the ability or not, governments weren't sharing. We're fighting with the Chinese. They don't have any information anyway because they don't give a crap about any people in their country, never mind around the rest of the world. So we did go to Italy and get some information out of them. We went to a few other places with our hotspots, but there wasn't a whole lot of info available as to how to treat this properly when it all got started. So everybody was grabbing their butts to try to figure out how to deal with it, and of course all
the
politicians wanted
to
point fingers. And
right, but the fact is that in the scientific community and their emails that have leaked, and we know this is now a fact, in January, the National Institute of Health and the CDC sent memos to the Trump administration that this virus was real and it was coming out of Wuhan. That's in January. We did nothing. The president did not address it until March. So, you know, it is what it is. Monday morning quarterbacking isn't going to bring back anybody that we've lost in our
family.
And
it doesn't, pointing the finger of blame at this point doesn't do any good either. It isn't that what we have is a situation, and back to my question about whether people think that the price we have paid in terms of our economic health, of the spiritual, mental, and sometimes physical connotations of this, has it all been worth it? I don't know what the numbers were for SARS. I don't remember what the Ebola epidemic took in terms of what the cost
of lives.
There
was one death from Ebola in America. There was one death.
Well, but I'm not talking about just America. I'm not being, this is not just
about
America.
No, I know. Ebola in Africa was horrible, but
right.
But just talking about the American economy, you know, there's nothing that has rivaled this.
I know, and that's, and I'm not sure that it was, I've said this before, I said it at the beginning, and then I sort of backed off of it. Is this response over the top when it comes to where it actually leads us, where it brings us?
And you know what, to be honest, I think there are two answers. I think if you, you know, you haven't lost anyone to it, you haven't had it, it's affected your bottom line, but it hasn't affected any other part of your life. So your answer is going to be, and it's justifiable, your answer is we overreacted. To someone, you know, who has lost loved ones in our family, there's nothing the economy.
Sure, it's a different
interpretation. I don't care about the economy. It's a totally different feeling.
I get it.
I think you're never going to get people to sort of bridge that gap. I can see your perspective and I can understand it, but I can't agree with it because it's affected me personally.
You know.
So, but I think that's where people are. It's either one side or the other.
As I went through all of this, looking at the different communications I have with some of our affiliates, I was looking at what was going on here, and then I'm looking at the newsletter from affiliate KMMS out in Bozeman, Montana, as to what they have for testing. They're testing a couple hundred.
I don't really think of Montana as being hit hard. Right?
That's, because there aren't a lot of people that live there, frankly. They are doing more testing now, like 4,000 people in the month of June versus like 180 or so in March. So the number of people showing no symptoms of the virus has increased, and so they're not going to test them anymore. And that will affect the positive numbers, I suppose, to a point. But when you really get right down to it, there is agreement pretty much everywhere about the mask directive. Everybody should, I don't know if force is the right word for it, but you should wear a mask when you go into a business, into a store, into a restaurant, when you're out in public. And that's especially true if you can't self-distance. I think a lot of people are doing that now. So I'm not sure the numbers be whatever they are. I just think that we have we've adjusted our lives to the point where we understand how to deal with this. The ramification, the vaccine will change people in some way, shape, or form, change the reality. The fact this thing is mutated is changing the reality. The fact that people are looking at this and wondering about business or education, is the world going to go to hell in a handbasket because of this virus, and should we let it go that way? I know a lot of people who, you know, have children that are concerned about what their children are learning or aren't learning. And what will happen? Do they all stay back a year? Do they go back to school? Let's say they don't open up schools until sometime next year in some jurisdictions. So where do the kids go? And what takes the place of what they haven't learned? They're not learning squat now, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to many practical things that we need to know about in our world and our society. And so this just goes further down that pike of ignorance, frankly. Everybody's, having a great time, you don't have to go to school. No, not smart. That's not a smart way of looking at this. 10 before the hour.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
It's so 70s. The song, but it's, I just love it. I didn't think the show was that great, but I loved the theme. A couple of the stars I found very appealing in the manner of speaking. This is the theme from Cheers, as you know. And so Chuck has got a story bringing us up to date on somebody's birthday, I'm sure. Chuck Curry, Movie Moments on the DJV program. Who's celebrating today, Chucker?
Woody Harrelson, Doug, is 59 years old today.
59.
Who is one of the main players on Cheers from the year 1985 to 93. Took over the role of the main bartender on that show from an actor named Nicholas Collado, who played Coach, who was very popular on that show. He wound up passing away, and then Woody Harrelson was cast in.
So what do you make of Woody Harrelson's
really good movie career?
What do you make of his career? And
he's had 103 acting credits.
Yeah.
He hit big in 96 with a movie called People vs. Larry Flint. He was really good in that film.
Yeah.
Same year, he did a movie called Kingpin, a goofy comedy from the Farley Brothers.
So good.
Which was really
good,
too. And then he's been very diverse. He played a really good villain in The War for the Planet of the Apes a few years ago. He was in Three Billboards. He's a go-to guy
Billboards.
In terms of Hollywood.
Good. Sorry, I missed the Planet of the Apes movie.
He always gives a good performance.
Yeah, he is good. But he's a little quirky, is he not, sort of in his personal life?
He appears to be a little.
Yeah, right. But does
I met him once.
That
he's really sweet. He's kind of shy, and he's just really nice, though. Yeah, very
sweet. Sort of brings us around to wondering out loud whether people, in order to be good actors, they've got to be a little, you know, just a little bizarre, a little odd, a little off, if you will, as that seems to be the case with many of them anyway. The movie Mission Impossible.
I've been described that way, too.
You have been, yes. I think that's accurate with regard to you. Yeah, not me, but you. So, there are some images of Tom Cruise coming out of England this week. He was landing in a helicopter on a golf course, had lunch. Apparently, they're working on Mission Impossible 7 again, or it looks to me like they're doing back-to-back.
7 and 8, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, how's that going to... We're going to release one next year and then one the year after?
Looks that way, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So, is this signal the beginning of going back to filming movies with this thing? This is a
high-profile movie. You're starting to see some production go back into place. I mean, it has to, because if it doesn't, you'll have nothing to play in multiplexes.
Out of business.
Forget about this year, which we went on. We stated, I don't believe there'll be any major studio release this year. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But if you get delays in production and they don't go back, then you have issues with 2021. And then the survivability of even the major multiplexes will get more dire. Because you need product. First you need product, then you need people to see the product. You have a fear of people going back into indoors to movie theaters to watch anything, specifically classics. That's what most movie theaters are showing. If you look at Jurassic Park, E.T., back to, that's what's being shown in most theaters because there's really no new product to show. So if you get this into 2021, you make the problem go from very bad to unbelievably bad. So
yeah, I'm looking at
movies and TV and production.
The way they're putting these pieces together, they didn't have to, because Tom's been living in England, didn't have to comply with the quarantine rules there. The film locations have been cleared. Apparently, he's doing his own stunts again. Apparently, there's some really, he's up the ante a lot, stunts. What do we know about some of the stunts? Have you heard anything about specifics in terms of...
Well, I guess they save a lot of money on a stunt double.
But how much do they have to pay in insurance, though, just to cover him?
So, I mean, it's amazing that it's even allowed to take place. But some of the stuff that he's done in terms of stunts for the Mission Impossible films has been incredible.
He broke his ankle on the last one, did he not? Right. It seems to me that they...
Yeah, pretty badly, I think. Slammed into the side of a building.
Building, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you wonder, are stars, do insurance companies, I think Harrison Ford still does a lot of his own stunts.
Normally the insurance companies were always resistant on stars doing stunts, even minimal stunts. But some of the stunts he's pulled off, I'm surprised that they foot the insurance bill, to be honest.
Does that make him a better actor because he does things like that? Do people think of him?
I think the final product turns out better.
Yeah. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, that was a whole...
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.